welcome to episode 24 of Unapologetically Overcoming. I'm your host, Jess Marie. In honor of Father's Day next week, my guest today is here to talk about being a dad and some of the stigmas that we hear about fathers, especially single ones. This was a great conversation for sure, and I hope that you all enjoy it as much as I did. All right, my guest today is here to talk about something that I don't think is discussed enough. So I'm very excited to welcome him. I will let him introduce himself and tell us all a little bit about who he is and what he does. Welcome.
Hi, Jess. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Me too. So let everybody know a little bit about who you are and what you do and all the fun stuff.
Okay, amazing stuff. So my name's Darren Brooks, Darren J. Brooks, author name. I've written two books, which are kind of bridge the gap between social commentary and personal development. They sort of talk about what's going on in the world, but how to become the best version of yourself and navigate that stuff that's going on in the world. That's kind of what both my books are about. I'm working on my third book at the moment, which is called Man, It's Not Who You Are, It's Who You Become, which will be released on International Men's Day. And that's come from working so much more with men quite recently, Jess. That book's kind of come from that. I also run a single dads group called The Dad Community, which is through a charity in Stoke-on-Trent in England, Alice Charity, and that supports single dads on their journey and, again, you know, helps them to become the best version of themselves. And I'm also just starting a group called Sit at the Table, which is a men's network for men that want to win. So quite a few pretty interesting and fun things going on, really.
That's awesome. All of that sounds really, really cool. So you mentioned the single dads group. So you yourself are a single dad?
I'm a single dad. I've got shared custody of my daughter, who's now 15. So she's getting to that point where she's getting a little bit more of an adult now, really. But, you know, I've had a couple of times. A mum had a few like personal issues going on, so I had a full-time for about 6 months, but we've had shared custody since we split up, really, which was when she was 5. So it's awesome. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That is awesome. So being a single dad yourself, how does that relate to the work that you do working with men and fathers?
I think, you know, Alice Charity was predominantly a female organization, really. They were dealing much more with the mums and the families and the children and stuff. But as time's gone on, more and more single dads have come on their books. So what they did is they wanted somebody that could help these guys, because pride, you know, ego, things like that sometimes will stop men talking and opening up, especially if it's at a time when they're struggling. Like, some of these guys have had really, really well-paid and really good careers going, and they've had to give them up to look after the children. So, you know, but some of these guys who are on like the benefit system in the UK, they've been engineers and things like that. So that has obviously massively impacted self-esteem, confidence. So it was to get somebody that could come across and talk to these guys on their level, who was more approachable. And what they'll do is they'll go through me as a middleman. So if they needed like food from the food bank, they'll ask me those things. And then, I'll support them in any way which I can. A lot of the time when the dads end up with the children, something usually traumatic has actually happened. So that could be death, you know, the death of the mum. That could be substance misuse issues, mental health. It's quite rare that the children end up with the dad, I think, especially at a young age. You know, I know quite a few dads who, as the children have grown up and got a bit older, they've gone to live with the dad, especially with lads that are more, I suppose the dad could guide them a little bit better than the mum as they got to the teenagers, you know, starting shave, starting seeing girls and things like that. But usually from early on, something bad has usually happened, which is the case for most of the dads who I work with, really.
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of a common theme. I think we talked about this when we first sat, you know, chatted with each other, that it seems like that is the theme most of the time, that these dads that are single dads end up being that way almost by default, because like
default.
The mom can't do something or isn't around or whatever the case may be, instead of actually just being there and being present. Do you work with dads that are there like because of that reason, not just because of like the default reason for being there?
Yeah, you know, the growing that community, so it's called the dad community for a reason. So it's initially started off as single dads, but they're growing that so that more dads can come on board. I've got one dad, you know, who's in that group. He's 63. He's got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. You know, I think we spoke about that before. He's a sole carer. They do see the mum, I think, on a couple of nights, but he's got no support network. So this sort of dad community for him has been amazing. But also for the dads who, you know, don't think that they can look after the children for Saturday and Sunday while the mum goes away with the friends, they can come into this group and think, well, actually, you know, this guy's doing this on his own full time, so they can learn from each other, which is amazing. You know, in answer to your question, Jess, it is growing, and there are more dads coming in, and there's more dads coming in that aren't necessarily the sole provider. So it is about building that community. And I think, you know, the excuses for I can't look after the kids on the weekend while you go away are kind of gone when they see these other guys who are doing that full time and can do it.
Yeah, I love that because it's so important, not even just as a dad, but being a parent in general, to have some sort of support and community, because being a parent isn't easy, whether you're doing it with someone or by yourself. Like, it's probably
100%.
The hardest job that anyone will ever do. So, you know, having a support group and community and people to look to, even just to know that like you're not alone and there's people you can talk to and there's support out there for whatever it may be that you're dealing with, because the reality is there's probably somebody who's going through it too, and they understand, and maybe they have ideas or suggestions that you may not have thought of. So I really do like that a lot.
Without a doubt. And you know, you hit the nail on the head there, really, Jess. It says it's probably the hardest job in the world. And we've got no manual on how to do it.
There's no training for this job.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing. And we can only hope that, you know, that most people have had that good example from their mum or their dad or their mum and dad. But some people haven't. So some people are literally learning it as they go. And I think sometimes they've learned how to be an amazing dad or an amazing mum by being brought up by somebody that wasn't necessarily amazing. They were the opposite of that, and they've learned from that how to not do it, I suppose, essentially.
Yeah, that's really cool. So talking about being a single dad, and I'm sure that our listeners could probably think of some stigmas, but what are some stigmas that you can think of related to being a single father?
Well, you know, I think one of the main things is that you can't bring up your children. You can't do it like without the mum. So one of the dads, a little bit similar to myself, he'd had shared custody of his older daughter. He'd got twins with a new woman who he'd met. Had a great relationship with the older daughter. The mum had a lot of issues who got the twins. So he ended up with full custody. Mm-hmm. And he had to prove to social services that he could be a dad, that he could look after these children, despite the fact that he's got a daughter who was 17 at the time. You know, he's been a dad. He's been the example for this girl to grow up all through her life, who's now going into adulthood, but he's got to prove to social services that he can look after two girls again. And it's not even like, you know, it was the opposite sex. There were girls. He'd already brought up a girl. So, you know, that was a big one. Small things like when you go to the school gates and stuff like that, if they're there regular, a couple of them have been asked, you know, why do you pick them up? Where's the mum? So, yeah, there's quite a few stigmas around that. Also, with our welfare system, we get what's called universal credit if you're not working. Mm-hmm. And with the dads, the constantly getting onto them, you need to find work, you need to find work. And it's like, these girls are 2 and 3. I can't find a job.
Hey, yeah, they're little. That's hard.
Yeah, they're small. You know, they're not even at school. And I can't find a job that will give me all the holidays off. We have a 6-week holiday here. You know, I don't know if you know, 6 weeks summer holidays, you're not going to find any job that will say, yeah, you can have those 6 weeks summer holidays off. The guys that do work, some have got their own business, but that do work, they've had a job, and that place has been like really understanding. But then one guy, he lost that job, he got made redundant, couldn't find a job again that would give him what the previous employer did. He got a daughter that was due quite a few operations at the time, so he had a big list of the appointments that he needed to go that
Wow.
she needed on her foot, and nowhere would take you on, knowing that you've got all those appointments booked, and they just get somebody else that can do the job
Yeah.
and can be there, which is really sad.
It is. It's really unfortunate. I mean, and I just think too sometimes, like my son is 14 now, so he, pretty self-sufficient. I can leave him home alone by himself. But when he was younger, I was the single mom then, and my parents both worked, and I didn't even have a lot of resources. So like on days that, he was sick and couldn't go to daycare, I was the one having to call into work to stay home with him. On snow days when there was no school and he couldn't go to school, I was the one having to call in. And I remember distinctly thinking during when the pandemic was like, when everything started shutting down and the school was closing and everything, and I thank God he was a little bit older, because I literally was like, I don't know what I would have done.
No.
So, I mean, it really is unfortunate that in situations even like that, with again, with moms or dads, that there's not
100%.
more flexibility or resources or whatever the case may be to help support parents that are in situations like that. Because, it's like you want the parent to work, but you also want them to be there for the child. And then it's like, it's almost,
Definitely.
you get shamed either way. Like if you're a working parent, you're bad because you're not with your kids. If you're with your kids, you're bad because you're not working. Like it's like,
100%.
where's the middle of both sides of that? So it's,
Yeah, it's finding that employer that will give you that space and will allow you to be a mum or to be a dad. The Alice Charity, they support disadvantaged families, so a lot of their staff have maybe had issues in the past and stuff of being a mum. So the CEO there is completely understanding that, look, we look after families, so it's important that you look after your own family. So if your kids are sick, if your kids have got a carol concert or a sports day, they were kind of they're expected to go. You go, you don't need to take a holiday, you just go. But I think from a man's point of view, that's a little bit more difficult because it's not expected that you will have sole custody. So finding a factory or a warehouse or manual work that will say, yeah, go for it, is pretty much non-existent, I would say. I would say to you would need a boss that has kind of been in that situation, that's got that empathy and understanding to say, yeah, I understand that, I've been there. I think the best way forward really is to set something up yourself, to work around something that's your own business and you are in charge of what you do.
Do you guys have like paternity leave there? Do they do that
Yeah,
there?
it's 2 weeks, so it's
Such
not,
a small
yeah,
amount of
it's not a long
time.
time.
Yeah, I know there are some employers here. Like I know some of my friends, when they have, they've had babies, their husbands have gotten paternity leave. But then there's other jobs too that like they don't offer that to the father. So it's like, it's just so crazy the difference. And even listening to you talk about the father that had raised a daughter already and still needed to go to court and like prove that he could do this. It's so crazy when you really stop and think about the differences between how society and like the court system and everything look at mothers and fathers. Because I mean, sure, there are circumstances where they would make a mother prove certain things, but it's a lot, I feel like there's a lot more hoops that the fathers have to jump through than mothers. And then a lot of cases, the father might be the better resource for the child than the
100%.
mother. And it's tough because sometimes, even if the father doesn't have the finances or, to get a good lawyer or whatever the case may be, then they end up not being able to do it, but not because they're not able. Like it's a messy kind of
It is, and that's a big one over here, Jess, as well, with the legal system. Like, I've got a family member at the moment who's going through that, not seen his daughter for like 3 years, £17,000 in, and still not got to that point. So that's a tough one. I think there's a stigma, and there's the discrimination against both. It's like, on the plus side for a single dad, if a single dad's looking at the children, everybody thinks he's this hero, but the mums do that all the time,
I
and
know there's
nobody kind
that
of thinks
too.
the mums are heroes. So, I think it kind of works both ways, that there's a lot of lessons to be learned, I think, from both sides, and realizing that parents are parents, whether it's the mum or the dad, they can struggle. Whether it's the mum or the dad, they can do an amazing job. It doesn't really matter on the sex. It's like they can do that, and they can both struggle. But there's the big thing with men not being able to talk a lot and stuff. Well, I don't fully subscribe to that. I think creating the right environment, men will open up. It's just important that the environment's there. So, if you're on a building site and you want to tell your friends that you're struggling, you probably that's not going to be able to happen. But if you create that right environment, men will open up. I know that because of, I work with men in groups, and they will. It's just creating the right environment where I feel comfortable doing that.
And that's so cool though, because doing that, I think you're essentially working on eliminating that stigma of men not being able to talk about, like, I need help with this, or I'm struggling with this, or this is how I'm feeling, because, that is a stigma that society has put on men and on fathers, that like they're just supposed to be able to, do it all and not need help from anybody. That's I love that so much that you're doing that.
Yeah, it's rewarding. It's rewarding. You're seeing, you're not only listening to these guys listen to their struggles, you're also hearing the accomplishments. You're hearing when they took the first steps. You're hearing when they said dad, or they said the first word. So you're getting both ends of the spectrum. You're helping them with the struggles, but you're hearing all those rewarding, those nice things, especially with, like your son being 14, Ellie's 15. So that's all like a little bit of a distant memory, really. When my brother's my nieces are quite young now, so he's getting that. But for me, that felt like a long, long time ago.
I'm sure. I know him. My son being a toddler, I look at pictures sometimes and I'm like, how did we get from there to here? Like
Yeah,
it's so
it just
crazy.
grows, doesn't it? It seems like baby, toddler, teenager. It doesn't seem to like transition slowly. It seems to go really, really quick.
It definitely does. Definitely. So if there was one thing that you would want people to know about being a single father, what would it be?
I think how rewarding it is to be that sort of positive force for your children. I'm big on, show your children, don't tell them. I think you could tell your kids, like when I wrote my first book was like Dreams to Goals, and the idea, the main driving force behind that was I wanted to show Ellie that you could go after your dreams, not tell her. I think you've got a lot of people who will say, you can achieve anything. And it's like, well, why are you doing a job that you hate, Dad? Or why are you doing something that you don't enjoy doing, Mum? You tell them to do these things. Or, my son or daughter's struggling. They're putting a lot of weight on. They're not exercising. I want them exercising. It's like, have you looked in the mirror? Are you doing those things? You can't tell your children to do something that you aren't. So setting that example, it's just so rewarding. I think just being not necessarily a single dad, but just a dad in general is like the most amazing thing in the world. And appreciate it, I think, is the main one. And if you're a single dad, appreciate it even more so. Appreciate it that, like what I say to these guys is, they'll say, oh, the mum's doing this, or she hasn't seen him, or she's not turned up, because obviously I'm getting it from the mum's side. We know it's the same both sides. We've got plenty of mums whose dads aren't doing anything either. But I'd say what I will say to them is, Luke, you enjoy this. You're building that relationship. The mum is completely missing out on seeing your children grow up, and you're a part of that. That's amazing. So you're going to grow up with that really, really close bond, which I don't think anything touches that, no matter what work you're doing or anything. Nothing comes close to that.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's absolutely true. I mean, it's that phrase just popped into my head, like it's twice the work, but it's twice the reward. So it's like, you know,
100%.
it's hard, but every second of it is worth it. Absolutely.
Definitely. And I think, you know, sometimes when you're going through that struggle, it's not until a little bit later on, Jess, is it, when you look back and you then see all the good things that happened, and
Yeah.
you remember all the good times, which and you know, I think that's the point of just connecting with people that can help you, whether it be support groups, whether it be friends, whether it be family members, because enjoy it, because it's not going to last forever, is it?
No,
They're gonna grow up, they're not going
sure
to want to
isn't.
talk to you. And yeah, I love that little phrase where it says, listen to the small things so that they tell you about the big things. If you don't listen
Yes.
to the little things that they want to tell you, then they're not going to want to talk to you about the big things later on. And luckily, it's not luckily, now it's, you know, it's putting the work in. Ellie, me and Ellie can talk about anything.
Yeah.
When, you know, when she was coming on a period and things like that, I said, you don't need to wait till you round your mum's, you know, you just tell me. And she does tell me. She's just straight with me. We've got that relationship where you just be straight with each other, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. I have the same kind of relationship with my son. Like we people sometimes are like, I love the relationship that you guys have with each other. Like he knows I'm here. He knows he can talk to me literally about anything. Like, and
Anything.
I find what works for us is like I don't pressure him to talk about things. He knows
No.
I'm here, and when he's ready to talk about whatever it is,
Yeah.
he knows that he can come to me and I will listen. I'm not going to judge. Like we'll talk about whatever it is. So it really is awesome to have that kind of relationship with your child. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's nothing comes close to that, does it? No matter what, how, you know, fulfilled you are in your career. I think this, you know, I think this is a big thing that you see with dads and, you know, and probably mums, but they throw everything into the career, and not being a parent, thinking that, yeah, you know, I need to be that provider
Right.
financially. Yeah, you need to be that provider emotionally, and as the person who's there, that's more important. No matter what I want to achieve in my career, it will never impact that father-daughter relationship. It's like, I'll speak to her about what my dreams are so that she will talk to me about what her dreams are. And she's
Yeah.
on this journey with me. It's like it will never be, oh, dad's at work all the time and he hasn't seen, because this, you know, this is more important than anything like being that dad.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always ask my guests if they have a favorite inspirational quote or message that they like. Do you have one that you would like to share with the
I have,
listeners?
yeah, my favorite one. I've got quite a few, but my favorite one is by Rumi. And it says, you step out on the way appears. I love that. And you
I
could
love
look at
that
that as
too.
being a father, being a mother, or going after what you want in life, going after your dreams. I think you sometimes, if you look at what you've got to do, it can be quite overwhelming. But as soon as you step out on it, everything just starts becoming clear to you. And I really like that. Kind of live by that, really.
Yeah, I love that one a lot too.
It's good, yeah, it's a good quote, because
Yeah.
you can overthink everything, you can overthink everything, and then not do anything with that. Where as soon as you start walking towards something, all the doors start opening, all the right people come, the right things start happening, and you know, the universe provides the right things at the right time for you. So, but
Yeah.
you've got to step out. There's no point in just sitting there and waiting for it to happen.
No, because if you sit and think of all the reasons why you can't do it, you're not gonna do it. So taking that
So.
first step is like the biggest thing ever.
Definitely, definitely. You know, when I wrote my first book, I wrote it in the first lockdown. I set the goal that right, this year I'm going to write this book. And as soon I was talking about wanting to be a writer for a long time, and wasn't really writing anything. And as soon as I sort of made that decision and started writing, a writing coach came up on a Facebook Live.
Oh,
I signed on
awesome.
her course, and everything kind of just went from there. And I, you know, kind of live by that now. I think it really does. The tattooist the other day, he wants to be a painter, and he says, but he's not painting. He says, I'm waiting for that burst of inspiration to come. I said, listen, that burst of inspiration won't come. That burst of inspiration will come tenfold once you're painting, and then
Yep.
more and more will come to you. So yeah, I kind of live by that. I love that
Yeah,
quote.
definitely. That's a good message. All right. Where can people find you, as far as website, social media? Where can they get your books, all the good stuff?
Both books are on Amazon. Darren J. Brooks. The first one's called Dreams to Goals, and the second one's 23 Rules of Life That Most People Don't Want to Hear. My website's dreamstogoals.co.uk, and you know, connect on social media. I'm Darren J. Brooks on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
Awesome. So I will link all of that information in the episode description for today's interview. Amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really had a nice time chatting with you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Been enjoyable.
Yes.
Darren's role as a father and in the work that he does for fathers is so important. If you're a dad, or if you know a dad who could benefit from the work that he does, I encourage you to follow him on social media and check out his website. Thank you again to Darren for joining me today, and thank you all for listening. Happy early Father's Day to all the dads out there, and remember, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.